Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Here we always remember the nightmare. This is Georgia Wrestling Now with your host from the award-winning WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, Mr. Jonathan Williams.
Thank you, Matt Hankins. That is Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And tonight's show is a President's Day special edition, I guess. Not really. It's Monday night for us, so we're back as usual. And we've got a lot to talk about, I suppose, because there was a lot of wrestling that went on over the weekend and a lot more coming up this weekend, which is why we'll be talking to the fireman, first in a few minutes. He'll be calling in to talk about his match against A.R. Fox at the Winter Rumble this Saturday. And then later in the show, we'll be talking to Mark Grayson about his new promotion, Classic Pro Wrestling. But first, we will talk about other stuff from last weekend.
Yeah, GWR kicked the doors open on their new venue, a rather unique venue, as it were. I got to check out some boots and some recliners. I bought some tires on my way back to the ring, which was great. I'm not complaining or making fun. I'm just saying it's very different. But that kind of set the stage for the show that was to come, because I think, you know, we were both there. I think the thing that was overall about that show was it was just fun. It was just a good time. And that's sometimes what people tend to forget, but it was a very good time at that show.
Yeah, it was, and that wasn't always the case at previous Pro Wrestling Resurrection events. Not to say they were not fun, but it just seemed like there was a different energy going on, and it may have had to do with the fact that it was in the back of a flea market. I'm not sure.
And but, coming off of their last show, which would have been Memorial, you know, even though it was a very heavy time for everybody, I mentioned here on the show that everybody still had made that a very fun show too. So there seems to be an attitude shift in that company. The main event was not at all what I think anyone would have expected. When you think of big, strong Doc wearing his Aces and Eights gear, you don't expect him to lead a series of children in a chicken dance. But it happened. I saw
it happened for a long time, too.
He was not half-hearting it. He gave it all to his chicken dance. And Rick Michaels, I don't know. What can you say about Rick Michaels?
Well, even Rick Michaels is laughing at the his own opponent calling him a chicken and getting the kids to dance and cluck. Even Rick Michaels couldn't help but laugh.
What else can you do? Consummate professional Rick Michaels. I mean, if anyone else is in that match, I don't know if it works exactly the same, but the dichotomy between those two, with him at some point offering friendship to Gallows based on his past gimmicks.
He named off all of them, too.
I think he got them all. I think he hit them all. And then it was a lot of good wrestling sprinkled in there. I thought Ethan Case and Kevin Blue had a much better match than I might have expected it to be. I missed a couple of the first things that you saw, but the Battle Royal Rumble went pretty well. It was a good night.
Yeah, the first match was Eli Evans versus Matt Sexcells, and that was another entertaining match with Matt Sells coming out on top. Then there was a brief segment with Rick Michaels calling out Doc, because originally it was just supposed to be the two of them in the main event. And then later in the show, Chris Damian won the Battle Royal, which earns him a title shot, I believe. And then it turned into a tag team match for the main event with Doc and Damian versus Rick Michaels and
Daniels.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, a strong effort throughout, and they had a good crowd. Crowd was into it the whole night, so a lot to build on for them. So it's not that far away, folks. It's a Friday night. Don't make the trip.
Yeah, and Gainesville, for some people, Gainesville is home. And they
exactly. Haven't
had a regular wrestling show there in I don't know how long. We already have a caller, so let's see who we got calling in. Thanks for calling Georgia Wrestling Now. Who is this?
I have never gotten the chance to buy a set of tires at a wrestling show.
Larry Goodman, you call in under a different number every time you call, so I can never keep track of it.
Has to remain anonymous.
I mean,
no,
I've seen a
lot. Be tracked.
That is awesome. Buying a set of tires at a wrestling show.
Oh, there's no limit to what you can get there. You
there
want
and Doc,
smelled really good.
They got them.
Doc doing the chicken dance. I mean, it had to be a good time, like you said.
He led the chicken dance.
Led the chicken dance. He brought it on after much clucking from the audience.
Were either of you guys at Nightmare 3?
I was there.
I was at Monster Jam that night.
It was what you expect from that Nightmare show. You know, Terry and I always forget. I know his wrestling name. I cannot ever remember his real name. But they hustle themselves, and they get that show. They get people excited about it, and they get the building full, and they did it again. And, you know, the Nightmare show is never going to be about a bunch of five-star matches and who won this and who won that. It is, they keep it in perspective of what they're there to do. You know, you're there to honor the legends. You're there to remember, have some good memories. You're just really there for the workers to kind of get to meet some guys maybe they hadn't seen in a little while or ever, and it was exactly what it should be. It was a good night. Getting to see, you know, Ron Simmons present the Lifetime Achievement Award to Bullet Bomb Armstrong, especially with the loss of Brad, which was a big part of the show, was something special. So good night for everybody.
Cool.
And then, you know, sealing the deal with Kyle Matthews and Sean Tempers isn't a bad idea either.
No.
But a good, strong showing by everybody. You had new talent, old talent kind of mixing together. That eight-man scramble is always the highlight of that show. It did not disappoint this year.
It was nice to see that Steve Lawler did his retirement there. You know, a guy who doesn't get a lot of credit for all that he really did to advance pro wrestling in Georgia. That was a really nice touch, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And at last year's show, CC came out and he asked Terry Lawler to, you know, he wanted to have his final match there as well. But for whatever reason, that didn't happen. And so he made that very vocal and physical as he attacked Terry Lawler and set that match up for next year. So they're going forward. A brutal beatdown that should lead to what will, by the time the match goes off, be a 2-year bill.
Right.
Always forward facing.
Hey, I do want to mention about Crossfire, their demise over the weekend here with not continuing with the shows. And, you know, I just want to say that actually somebody asked me who put me up to writing the stories about the show and about Crossfire and the negative stuff. And, you know, one of the things, I don't have anything, you know, I don't really have any problems with Marcus at all. It's really just that. And actually, I think that they tried to really aspire to something great there, and I wish they could have pulled it off, because they brought in people that national wrestling could not have ever seen under other circumstances. So my hat's off to them. That I just wish that it hadn't gotten to where it was with the money part.
So they are officially done?
Yes. That is what he has told the talent, that he is closing down.
So did they have a final show?
No. The March show was canceled in the same communication to the talent that he was closing down the company because of he couldn't turn around the financial situation.
Yeah, you're right. That's a bad loss, because they did have something working there. Obviously, financially it wasn't working, but, you know, they were putting on good shows, getting good crowds, but there's two sides to this thing always, and if the money's not right, it really doesn't matter what you're doing in front of everybody.
No, and any time a promotion talks about TV, it scares me because the costs usually, you know, outweigh the benefits, and I think that was what happened here, is that the TV would just was the idea of all the production costs associated with it, that really put them behind the eight ball, I think.
Mm-hmm. And that roster did not come cheap.
No.
There weren't $40 envelopes in that place.
Well, that's sorry to hear that, but not surprising, I guess, given the news that we've talked about with that same promotion over the past few weeks.
Yeah, because, I mean, Nashville Wrestling is really a special place in a lot of ways. So, I mean, I want to see the best for Nashville Wrestling. I wish he could have succeeded, and I wish the formula would have worked, but it just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. And, they, you know, they lost, what, two promotions in basically a month or a little over?
You mean with Saw also?
With Saw moving towns, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Saw could rise again. I think they're doing something good, but it's much more of a local show. You know, they don't have any network or any presence outside Nashville, so it's not the same thing as it was, no.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Tennessee wrestling, I know some of our local ones were up somewhere in Dyersburg. I'm not for sure the promotion, but I know Pandora and Shane Marks, and I think Nina Monet were on a show there, and Pandora apparently is taken to the Rick Michaels School of Wrestling and just collecting belts wherever she can. And I think she won the women's title out there as well.
When was that? Friday?
That would have been Friday night, yep. So it was a long weekend for that bunch. I know Shane Marks would have been there Friday, would have been in Porterdale Saturday, and then also in the Battle Royal at the Nightmare Show later that night.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my hat's always off to people who do stuff like that, wrestlers who are willing to do that, because not that many are in this era of the independent people, you know, mm-hmm. to do that kind of traveling.
It looks like the promotion is Universal American. I'm looking
right.
at Pandora's pictures with that title.
Maybe she only collects titles in places with Universal in it. Maybe that's her goal.
So they were there on Friday night?
Friday night. Mm-hmm.
And back in Atlanta on Saturday?
Yep.
No,
and
that's...
After.
It also... I don't know. It's AAW, whatever that is.
So folks, Dyersburg to Porterdale, okay? 450 miles one way on Google, almost
yep.
7 hours. Come on.
Yep.
Come on.
He did it and wrestled the opening match in Porterdale. March did.
Hell yeah.
And won it. Won the match and then later cost
Hell
Mason
yeah.
his shot. Cost Mason his position in the tournament.
Now see, that's a pro wrestler. Not all these pretenders. That's a real pro wrestler that will do that kind of shit in 2013. My hat's off to that guy.
So Mason
might hate him a lot, but
Mason
is
out
of
the
title. Knock him. Yes.
Mason's out
yep.
of the title picture.
Yes, I think there was a lot that went on that Porterdale that was really surprising with Mason going out so early, and then I guess kind of the feature match, you know, if you just looked at the card, would have been Jagged Edge and Silas Cross, so you were going to lose one of them in the tournament as well. That ended up going to basically a double count out or a no contest, so both of them are out of the tournament. So the doors are open for quite possibly a first-time champion with Mason being out, and then Marks is still in it, but it ain't going to get any easier.
Well, that is very interesting, but I believe we are being joined now by our first guest, which is guy who is behind the Winter Rumble and is in the main event against AR Fox this Saturday, and that is the Fireman.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing well, doing well.
So you did the Fall Brawl 2 a few months ago, which of course was a sequel to the previous year's Fall Brawl and now the Winter Rumble. Is there do you have a promotion name for this, or is it just event, you know, separate events that you do?
Well, no, they're just separate events. Like you said, I ran Fall Brawl 2 years ago, and then I had Fall Brawl 2 on last year. And, I mean, I'm getting tremendous support from my community and from the surrounding areas that people are asking for a show, that we do a show every month, so I don't want to overwhelm them with shows, so I decided to do one the beginning of this year, and then we'll go to Fall Brawl 3 later on this year in September. So I'm going to check and see how it does with two shows a year right now.
Well, you didn't make it easy on yourself.
Yeah,
bringing
true.
In A.R. Fox to go against, that's... Some would say if you were putting on the show, you might have wanted to stack the deck a little bit more in your favor. I guess
you guys
both came out of that WWA 4 and had some interminglings there, I'm sure, but have you wrestled him much?
Yeah, A.R. Fox and both, we trained together. I trained with him at the WWA 4. He taught me a lot of things, and at Fall Brawl 2, I faced him at Fall Brawl 2, and I lost to him last year. And also, I had different matches with him at the WWA 4, which runs every Thursday night in Atlanta. So, yeah, I had some pretty good interactions with him. But, I mean, A.R. Fox is A.R. Fox. He's known around the world. They guys everywhere. So it's kind of hard to try to remember what this guy does in the ring because he brings something different every time he steps between those ropes.
Mm-hmm. And stylistically, you don't, I guess, mesh well. But how do you get ready for all that flipping and flying?
Yeah, that's right. We got totally two different styles. That guy would be on the top rope within a half a second, and I don't usually go to the top rope much. So I'm usually a mat wrestler, try to keep things on the mat or outside of the ring. But he's hard to prepare for. Like I said, you can't watch a tape and try to go off of what he's doing this match because he'll come out probably 10 minutes later on the same show and do something totally different and change his offense and defense all the way around. And he's a different person. So. I mean, A.R. Fox, he's hard to train for, very, very hard to train for. And all you can do is just basically watch his matches and watch his latest matches and try to keep up with him and try your best to stay two steps ahead of him during the matchup, which I would try my best to do.
I know, from what I always hear, those shows tend to get a little crazy. Do you expect the same thing out of this one?
The last show did get a little crazy. I mean, we didn't have any guardrails up, and the kids were around the ring, and they wanted to get involved and try to touch the wrestlers and climb on the mat. But at independent shows, they do tend to get a little wild. And going to be inside of a gym, and last time we had over 400 people attend the last show, and hopefully we're going to surpass over 400 this time and hit over 500. And is it going to be wild? Yes, no doubt about it. It's going to be wild, but when the people leave there at the end of the night, they're going to leave thinking about the Winter Rumble.
What else have you got on the card for that one?
Also from, going to have Jeremy Vane. He's known around this area. He's going to take on a guy from the WWA 4, Sid Cypher, who also trained at WWA 4. Also, Nation, Uha Nation. You know, last year he was injured during WrestleMania weekend with Dragon Gate down in Miami, Florida, and he's making his return to the ring. Doctors have released him, and it's been almost a year now, and he's going to finally return back to the ring. He's going to have an open challenge on that card. So he's worth the price of admission along with A.R. Fox, no doubt about that. And also Black Baron for the WWA 4, he's going to be there. Also Marvelous Marco, I believe that's what he called himself. He's from the Atlanta area. He will be on the card. Brandon Parker, who's a local wrestler here. He's currently the Flatline Pro Wrestling Champion. He's also going to be on the card. He's going to have an open challenge at the event, and Anthony Herring, who's known all over Georgia right now, he's another hot commodity right now. Anthony Herring will be there. He'll be in a triple threat match with Billy Brash and Strychnine from APW locally here. And also Navy Blue, Rogue Navy. He changes his name a lot, so I'm not sure what he's going by this Saturday night. So whatever name he decides to go by, he will be there, former talent from WWE Developmental Territory down in Florida. So it's a stacked card, and we got people from all over Georgia, all different types of characters will be there. So, I mean, it's something from everybody in the family.
You haven't named anybody that you can just write off. That Anthony Henry and Strychnine have just been, they've been in blood feuds for, the last year or so.
Yes,
they're
sir.
Kind
they,
of,
they,
Mm-hmm.
They've focused their efforts elsewhere as of late, but I'm sure it'll be good to see them back in the ring against each other.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of crazy person would accept an open challenge from Lujan Nation? It's
There's always somebody in the back that think they're better than everybody else. So, especially with Lujan Nation coming back to the ring, making his return back, I'm not sure if I want to accept that challenge myself either, but the doctors have cleared him. He's ready to go. He's supposed to be going over to Japan later on this year with Dragon Gate again, and he was gracious enough to stop in Thompson, Georgia, one more time before he leaves for Japan in the next couple of weeks. Thank God, he's on fire.
They better bring a stick, because I wouldn't want no. I've seen him, you know, just around, and you know, some people. Ula had a serious injury. Not to make light of it, he had a serious injury. And I asked him, I said, I remember him talking about not being able to work out like he used to, but when I was looking at him, I said, well, what are you doing?
Exactly.
How are you staying in this good of shape if you can't get out and get it like you used to? Because, I mean, he never got out of shape. He stayed on it, and, you know, he came back. That's something to have on the card right there.
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering the same thing. I'm wondering if he's gotten smaller or not. I've seen some recent pictures on him. I'm like, man, he haven't missed a beat at all. So it'll be interesting to see him back in the ring to see if he can still go like he was going last year. But there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to take off and it'll all come back to him. It's just like riding a bicycle.
Yeah,
go ahead, John.
He was at the PWL show at WWA 4 two weekends ago and didn't look like he had ever left the ring.
Wow, really? Yeah, I figured he was on fire last year. And I'm pretty sure he's going to pick up where he left off on last year. He's going to be in the big leagues in no time.
As you said, if you get a chance to see him here in the state where he kind of cut his teeth, you better take advantage of it because he may not be here as frequently as he once was.
You're exactly right.
So what made you want to make the transition from, you know, just wrestling into kind of moving behind the scenes as well?
The town that I live in here in Thompson, wrestling haven't been here for over 15 or 20 years, but for a long time. I remember going to the National Guard Armory as a little boy, and then I got involved with the WWA 4, and I was talking to Mr. Hughes, and he was like, you just get you a promotion or get you a show together and bring the guys in, and they'll put on a good show. And I got that deal, and I was hoping that this town would support it to have something different to do on a Saturday night here in Thompson. And I brought it here, and they supported it. The first time, it was probably 250 people that came out, and the next year it was by word of mouth because these people did not know what to expect. They thought it was going to be some beer-drinking event with a bunch of drunk guys fighting all over themselves, but they found out that it was a family-oriented event, and it took off pretty well. Then, like I said, last year it was over 400 people, and we're hoping to do it again and get over 500 this time, but it's just something different that I want to bring to my community, and these guys were very, very professional, and they agreed with everything, and we had a good time.
That is something, you know, a lot of these towns where shows are coming back up now had wrestling, you know, back in the heyday with some of the bigger promotions, but you find out real quickly that no matter how many generations pass, people in those towns where it was big once will usually come back out to it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even some older people that's up in age, they had a great time, and they were saying how they used to go to Augusta, Georgia, to the Bell Auditorium, see Mr. Wrestler 1 and Mr. Wrestler 2, and I was like, oh, man, you guys, it was a long time ago. But like you said, they came back out again just to see what's going on now, and they still click with it.
Now, the style that most of the wrestlers you named off is probably a lot different from what they were used to seeing, you know, some of those older people, they still took to it pretty well.
They still took to it pretty well. I mean, they still jumped and screamed and cheered for the guys they liked, and they booed the guys they didn't like. It all came together, and they had a good time. And I think this high flying and flipping style, they were more amazed at that because they're not used to seeing nothing like that. And I mean, they see it on TV every now and then, but just to see it there live and seeing AR Fox and Stitt Cypher turn backward flips and 450 in the middle of the air and spring off the ropes and stuff, they were completely amazed.
But I have not seen Stitch in a while. Has he been kind of laying a little low, or is just kind of focused in one area?
Yeah, it seems like you'll see Stitch pop up every now and then on Thursday nights on WWA4, and then you'll see him sometime at the Peach State Wrestling Alliance, I believe it's the name of it, up in the Atlanta area. You'll see him from time to time pop up, but he will be in talk this coming Saturday night.
Yeah, I think it's been a few months since I last saw him, and that was at Peach State out in Carrollton.
He was right. Doing very well out there, and I hadn't seen him in a while, so it's good to know he's still kicking, or flipping, as it were.
That's true.
How long have you been wrestling? I know a little bit about you. I've seen you a few times, but I don't know a whole lot about your history. How long have you been in it?
I'll say it's about probably 2.5 years now. I did not know you could go to school to be a professional wrestler until one day JTG was tweeting on Twitter. He was giving JTG facts, and he tweeted that he used to drive over 7 or 8 hours just to go to a wrestling school. And I was like, what? I had no idea that you could go to school to be a professional wrestler. I just thought they picked you up on the street somewhere and you just come to have a tryout match. But I searched online and I came across the WWA4 up in Atlanta, and $990 for 3 years. That was the cheapest thing I could find. And I live about 150 miles away from Atlanta. And so I applied there, and all these other schools, like $1,500 for like 3 months. And that was the cheapest thing I could find. I thought it had to be a cash somewhere. And it couldn't be true. But, I mean, once you get there, it's just like you see it online and just like you see it every Thursday night. Mr. Hughes, he'll teach you the basics, and you learn on your own pace, and you go from there. And in no time, he'll have you wrestling matches on Thursday night, and that's how I got my start.
Who were some of the wrestlers you kind of grew up watching that influenced you to maybe want to do it?
I know a lot of people wait to hear it, but, I mean, I was a Hulk Hogan fanatic. That's what it was. Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 1 against Andre the Giant. That did it for me. I've been a Hulk Hogan fan forever. And, I mean, even though he was the top of the federation in the poster board for the WWF back then, but that was the guy that I wanted to be. I wanted the glitz and glamour and having people cheer for you when you walk out or having people boo you. And just to have that reaction that you get from the crowd, that he got from the crowd, that's what I wanted to be, and it was Hulk Hogan.
Well, your gimmick is certainly not a conventional one. Did somebody give it to you, or did you come in and it just hit you one day?
Well, I'm actually a firefighter also here in my town, here in Topsail.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm a firefighter, so I was like, well, let me try the fireman, see if that works. And at the WWA4, I started off as a babyface, and I wasn't liking it too much, and so I wanted to turn heel, and Mr. Hughes was like, it's going to be hard to get people to boo a firefighter because you're supposed to be a superhero and a hero to the people. So I've been sticking to the fireman gimmick for a while now, and I've been a heel just about everywhere I go now. So to give me a microphone and let me talk for about 2 or 3 minutes, they won't be cheering for me no longer. They'll be going out of the ring. So it's been working pretty well now. But you don't see gimmicks too much here anymore. People are usually going by their regular name and so forth, but gimmicks are different, so I'm just trying to mold my way into this gimmick and make myself different than anything else that you see on the wrestling card.
For 2.5 years, to go from just walking in the door to putting on good cards, that's a pretty big achievement.
Thank you. Like I said, the guys that came before, they said that they had a good time and that they'll come back and be on another show, and they've been coming back. The only person that's probably not coming this year that usually comes, the guy that Jeremy Vane usually wrestled, I cannot think of his name right now, but these guys have been coming back, and I try to bring in some new guys so that people won't get bored with the same guys here every time we have a show. So, but the guy said I did a good job in that, and I like that. I guess it helps because if you're a wrestler, you know what to expect in the back. You know what to expect when you come there, and you know what you would like for the promoter to have ready for you and so forth. So that's how I try to base my shows on things that I would want to happen and how would I like to be contacted and paid and so forth.
Where else can people see you wrestle these days?
at WWA 4 on Thursday nights when I get a chance to come back up there. Also, I'm with Flatline Pro Wrestling in Columbia County. They run every first Saturday of every month. They're a great organization. They just started on last year, and already these guys have taken off. A great group of guys to work with. They have a big show coming up the first Saturday in March called the March of Champions. It'll be at Patriot Park in Columbia County. Also, APW down in Royston, Georgia, with Jeremy Bain, who runs that promotion. I'm there every single Friday night. You can catch me down there if you're near the Royston, Georgia, Athens, Georgia area.
Well, they have
I'm trying to branch out and try to get to different promotions and different organizations, but people don't want to bring the fireman in. So I'm just trying to get my foot in the door and get the word out any way I can. So I'm trying to get all over Georgia and out of Georgia.
Are you working APW this Friday for their big 6th anniversary show?
Yes, sir, that's right. They got a big 6th anniversary show coming up this Friday night in Royston. Bell time is at 8:30 or 8 o'clock, I believe. I will be there. I started there a couple of months ago, and they cheer for me down there in Royston. They don't believe in booing the firefighters, so I'm a nice guy down there in Royston, Georgia. You won't get the WWA 4 fireman down there at APW in Royston. You'll get the good guy fireman down there. Great group of people there, great group of fans, and we have a good time there Friday night.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet, exactly. I'm waiting for it, but Jeremy Vane is convinced that I'm a nice guy, so I'm going to have to change his mind somehow.
Well, I've been hearing about that Flatline promotion. I hadn't had the chance to see him yet. Who are some of the other guys involved with that?
Anthony Henry is involved with Flatline Pro Wrestling. You heard of Jacoby Borkins, the Alabama
mm-hmm.
ambassador. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's down at Flatline Pro Wrestling also. Chris Wiggin is the guy, and also Daniel Main are the two top guys there that run that promotion now. They also have a Facebook page, Flatline Pro Wrestling on Facebook, that you can get some information on them. Also, Charlie Anarchy, Cameron Cade comes there. It's a whole list of guys that they're in there. They're coming up, and they're starting to get a name for themselves. It's a great organization. Like I said, they run every first Saturday night there. They don't like me at Flatline, so they don't like the fireman there at Flatline. So those are nice people there. but that organization, they are definitely coming up. They're clicking right now. So, I mean, they'll be the one to watch in the next couple of months to get where they want to be.
Where can people find out more about the Winter Rumble show?
We have a Facebook page. You just search the Winter Rumble. Maybe you can find it that way on Facebook. Just look for the Winter Rumble. We have a page there. Also have ticket information. Tickets are $10 for ringside and also $5 for general admission. The whole purpose of this event is one of our firefighters' son has Down syndrome, and we're raising money for his family to help with medical expenses and also with buying educational equipment for him. So all proceeds from the event is going to go towards their family and try to help them out with their 6-year-old son that has Down syndrome.
Can't beat a strong card for a good reason, so looks like you.
Exactly.
You got it put together pretty well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. If anyone interested in purchasing tickets that are stay out of town, just inbox me on Facebook. Just search for Antron Brewer on Facebook, or you type in the fireman, either way it goes, it'll come to me, and I can send you a link to order tickets. A lot of people in the Atlanta area have been buying tickets here lately, so everybody's coming either to see AR Fox or Uha Nation. One of those two guys, everybody's paying the money to come to see.
All right. Well,
that's a pretty sound investment then.
Yes, sir.
You know what you're going to get out of those two.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling, Fireman, and good luck with the show this Saturday.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Mark Grayson about his show this Friday night.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first party you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins and GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com's Larry Goodman. And now we're being joined by Mark Grayson. How are you tonight, Mark?
Terrific. How are you guys?
Pretty good. So, cool. this classic pro wrestling, my understanding is you were putting these shows on, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I sure am.
Well, you know, a lot of people in the Georgia wrestling community know you from the Will Grayson memorials that you put on each year. So I'm guessing that sort of maybe inspired you to start your own promotion. But how did it all come about?
Probably the inspiration started with Will, and way before the Will Grayson memorial. That was always his dream, was to be Vince McMahon and own his own wrestling federation. And honest to God, it was his inheritance. When he died, wrestling became something that became part of my life more so than it ever was when he was alive. It just evolved that way, Jonathan. And sorry, it even makes me emotional to think about it. But seriously, he kept a book, like literally a little steno pad in his room that he would stay up late and make up matches and make up managers and all the people that he already knew. In wrestling, he created all these cards, and it honestly, that's how the first Will Memorial started, was with piecing together matches that he wanted to see, and the reasons behind he wanted to see it that he'd written down. It just evolved, and you know, working for different promotions throughout the state. And putting the shows together, it just sort of fell into place. An opportunity happened in Franklin. Heard County Middle School needed to raise some money for their athletic program, and got in touch with me, and we worked out a great win-win situation to bring some wrestling back to Franklin, Georgia. And so far we've raised almost $1,000 in two shows for the school, which has really made the coaches and the facility principal and everybody happy. So, seems like we found ourselves a good little home and a decent fan base of wrestling fans. Wrestling's been in and out of Franklin for some time. It's just one of those things where it just became an opportunity.
Well, I haven't had a chance to make it to any of the events yet, but just looking at the event posters, you know, the cards are looking pretty amazing. But I think Matt was telling me you had a few changes in main events and stuff. So how have the shows been so far?
So far we've been able to pull together. What had happened was we actually had Rob Adonis. Rob Adonis was actually going to be working with Johnny Swinger in a program. And then Rob got hurt, unfortunately. And at first we thought it was just going to be a few weeks. So we brought in Crew Jones, who I've worked with tons of times. And then he's hurt. So we've just juggled things up. And, you know, it's wrestling. So you got to be able to roll with the punches and always have plan Z, at least in your head, as to what you're going to do in case something happens. But so far, we've all had a blast, and we've put money in the coaches' coffers, and because they're doing great things down there, got great athletic programs, and the fans have been real responsive. And so far, the workers have been going crazy, and the wrestlers have enjoyed what we're trying to do, and it's been exciting so far. Cards have just come together. Even with Rob being out and a couple other changes, we've had some late arrivals trying to bring other people in from around the state that were late coming in, so we had to shuffle cards around or matches around on the card. But pretty much without Rob, we've got Bobby Moore coming in working with us, and got some other things planned that I'll share with you coming up. We're going to do the Ultimate Eight. Georgia's Ultimate Eight tournament in May. We're going to do the Ultimate Championship. It's a non-weight weight limit title that we're going to start up a tournament for.
How did the team of Fred Yehi and Kyle Matthews come together? Because that seems like a genius idea.
Well, thanks, Jonathan. Actually, when I started talking to the people that I wanted to have as part of the Classic Pro Wrestling organization, Kyle and Fred were really in that top six or eight people that I wanted to have, make sure that I had working. And talking to them and watching them work, and it just seemed like a great idea, especially when they had great chemistry with Hot Commodity. Tommy Daniels or Tommy Pinarelli and DB Suave now. We had them in singles matches at the first show, and, of course, one thing led to another and set up the tag team. And so one of those things that just really fell into place. It was an idea, and it's turned out pretty good. They've only had one real match together. Kyle's really busy, and plus he's getting married in April. So, It'll be hit and miss here for a little while. Fred will be here when Kyle can't be. Kyle will be here when Fred can't be until we hit a full stride. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I think they're going to set George on fire, personally.
I would imagine so. It can be very difficult to come in as a non-wrestling person and kind of navigate the minefield that can be trying to put together a show. How have you been able to maintain those relationships? Because I would imagine a lot of this comes from just, like you said, you've worked with Crew, you've worked with Rob. How have you been able to manage those relationships and keep them strong so that when you did want to put on your own thing, you just had to pick up the phone?
I'd like to think that I have a working relationship with everybody. I don't know. I like to think that I have a working relationship with just about everybody. There's some people that I know don't want to work with me, and you know, I'm trying to put together a specific product. To be honest with you, I don't want to say Ring of Honor or anything, but I want it to evolve into something that looks distinctly like professional wrestling. You know, is it independent professional wrestling? Professional wrestling is all professional wrestling, and we're trying very hard to do something. I feel like retro. It's going to be more. Classic pro wrestling was chosen for a reason. It I don't know. It's going to feel different. We're trying really hard to make it feel different, mm-hmm. Look different, or maybe look the same. I don't know what you're thinking at the same time when you say that. but working the minefield has been really tough, to be honest with you. I feel like there are relationships that I thought I had that I don't have, that I don't know. It's wrestling is all I can say. It's not everything in my life. It is in some ways everything in my life, but it's not, you know, it's not, I don't base my ego in my life and who Mark Grayson is on just wrestling. I love it, and I eat, sleep, and dream wrestling. And that's what I mean, is like, it's my inheritance from Will. I don't know, sometimes I don't even know where it comes from, but that's just the way my life has evolved into. It was my coping mechanism for when Will died, and I was already part of it, just a little part of it. You know, I was doing weird announcing gigs here and there, but it was just all that was to make Will laugh about it, not take it seriously. And so many people came together when Will died to support me that I feel like in some ways I can't even put all the people that I would like to put to work in classic pro wrestling, all the people that supported me in all that time, I wish I could put every single one of them to work just to show them what they've meant to me. But that's just not the way wrestling is, you know? And I don't know. I'm working really hard to not burn bridges and not have bridges burned with me. I love every promoter I've ever worked with, just about every single worker I've ever worked with. I genuinely try to have a good relationship with everybody. You know,
well,
everybody keeps saying you're a non-wrestling person, and it's like, when do you stop becoming a non-wrestling person and become a wrestling person? Aren't we all fans to begin with? And I'm just a fan, and that's all I've ever said I am. I don't want to ever be any more than a fan, because I don't want to have to take myself so seriously that I base everything in my life on a show that I booked on February 22nd in Franklin, Georgia at the Heard County Middle School. Tickets are only $5, by the way, at the Heard County Athletic.
I think you're coming into your own as a promoter, Mark. That was seamless.
But I love working with people, and I love the town of Franklin. If you have never had a chance to go down and spend 15 minutes walking by the river in Franklin and enjoying a town square that still has a laundromat on it, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's not a Walmart, there's not a McDonald's there. You know what I mean? It's a place like no other place around for me. You know, it's just, and it's weird, and it's a place that Will and I went for wrestling, and I worked for UIW as the announcer when Will was alive, so the whole thing is very surreal to me. Trust me, his birthday is coming up next Friday, March 1st, and I'm doing a show that night there, and it's going to be very surreal, very emotional. But
Will the Will Memorial shows kind of funnel into this now as opposed to being a separate thing?
The Will Memorial shows are specific. No.
Okay.
Well, I did the two Will Grayson Memorial shows, and it tore me up to do those shows, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it made part of my life complete, but it tore me up. But to do another show called the Will Memorial, it would be hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I do the Team Willpower shows for Special Olympics. Each and every Willpower show is specific to either a cause, a benefit show for some person, you know, or a charity. That's all Willpower is, and that's all it'll ever be. And I use all the benefit shows to help fund the Kids Beach Club Bible study, after school Bible study program with it. That's all Will right there, because that's what he wanted to do with his money, and that's what I'm doing with his money. Team Willpower and all that stuff is Will's, 100%. All of those ideas, Brandon becoming the general manager. Dude, I don't even know where that came from in his little book. But Brandon McClure was always part of every single thing he did. So when the opportunity came to put these shows together a long time ago, Brandon was one of those people that was in my top six, and he wasn't a wrestler, but he had to be part of it to make it what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So on May 11th of this year, we're doing the Team Willpower Special Olympics benefit, second annual. Brandon McClure is putting the card together this year. That's the general manager. We're already signed. Get this. Epic Grant Mitchell versus Fred Yehi in a match for the Special Olympics show for the kids. That's going to be pretty amazing.
Yes. I hope Epic protects his chest.
Yeah.
I hope
he
can chop.
I hope not.
I hope not.
I hope not.
Hey, Mark, could you give us your take on the Ted Allen 3 show?
Larry, I'm still recovering from the Ted Allen 3 show, to be honest with you. I expected there to be three announcers, and I was going to be the shill and, you know, fire everybody up and do the auctions and raffles like I always do. And the next thing I know, I was doing all of it. And thankfully, Bodie Green did half of the legends and all that, because I did a poor job just because I was just tired and it was hard keeping up with everything. But I thought overall with the adverse conditions that they had, and I think there was 714 workers on the card. 27 matches. It was probably the best time I've had in a long time. It's fun when you see people working their butt off and about in tears because some things just don't come together for them, and you know that they're doing it because that's why they're doing it. And that,
yeah.
there's something special about that. And wrestling aside, there was some really, really good stuff, and there was some stuff that, you know, it was there for a reason. And if one person enjoyed it, then I'm glad that they were there. I had a great time. I think Terry and Todd pulled together, and everybody that worked the show helped with everything from putting drinks and food in the locker room first class, taking care of all the guys first class, making sure that all the fans were taken care of. Everything was, I mean, like you would expect from those guys. I just wish that people wouldn't pull out of shows like that, like they did in number, because it wasn't fair to some people. Ted Allen, it sounds really crazy, but people have asked me, like, who trained you to be an announcer? It's like, what, announcers get trained? You know?
Yeah,
what?
Well, once upon a time, they actually did get trained, you know?
I know that, and I wish someone would really train me so I could actually do it. But I'm not an announcer, I'm a host. You know, that's what I've always said, I'm just a host. But Ted Allen is the one who wouldn't let me in the locker room when I first started, because I was just the guy who ran the website. You know, I was just the mark, you know. And then finally, after like six shows, me standing outside the locker room sweating, like, okay, I have like 7 minutes to get out there. I don't even know what I'm doing to begin with. And you're handing me the card, and then 2 seconds before I go on, the whole card changes. And it was like, wrestling kid. It's like, that's all I got. And then finally, that seventh time, it might have been eighth time, when Ted told me to come in the locker room and actually act, you know, it's like, okay. And then it was like, oh, this is it. Huh? Well, then, to be honest with you, the second part of my training started was when I walked in there and Doug Summers was part of it. And it was like, hey, get the out of here. You know, hey, you, get the out of here. You know, but if I was trained by two people, I would say Ted taught me what to start with, and I feel like told me what was right and wrong from the old school perspective, and Doug always was never scared to tell me when I sucked. and I'm not telling you, he told me sometimes with his voice, he told me with his hands in the ring, because he'd get mad when I'd overstep my supposed authority as the commissioner or whatever. I'm lucky that way, because I can't tell you how much time Will spent talking about Doug Summers, how much he loved Doug Summers, and the time that Doug Summers once slipped out the back to take pictures with Will and ended up spending 15 minutes just playing with him outside made Will's whole lifetime completely different. What I try to do is show the wrestlers is that, man, you can change someone. You might not really realize. We all talk about it, but kids do look up to you. And man, I can't tell you what these experiences meant to him, and now they mean to me. And now trying to recreate them, because that's the only reason I do it. me, Mark Grayson, personally, is to recreate it for the kids to see them look the same way Will look on his face when we do it. And if I try and appeal to, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest and watched Don Owen wrestling all the time. And I guess in the back of my mind, I keep going back to that stuff too. And I have some of my stuff looks, when I go back and watch it, I look and it's like, wow.
What are your fondest memories of Don Owen wrestling?
Sitting on my grandfather's lap, stealing his popcorn, wondering if that was really root beer in his drink. And then by 13, realizing it wasn't so bad. When it comes right down to it, those are my wrestling memories. You know, I don't know why. Those are my wrestling memories, and I got tons of. My thing is that it all blurs together for me because now I've watched so much of it. It blurs me. Was that the one I was there? Or, and then I look at the date and go, there's no way. And then you look at it again and. Being there live and in a really crappy building and the constant advertisement of the car dealership was what I remember. The musty smell and the sitting on my grandfather's lap stealing popcorn. But that was what it was. It was the experience to me. Wrestling is really different to me because maybe you're right, I'm not the typical wrestling person.
Yeah.
But again, I go back to that same question, is when do you stop becoming a wrestling person, Larry? You're a wrestling person that wasn't a wrestling person.
Yeah, well, what is the typical wrestling person? I sure as hell don't know.
I don't know, but I get it all the time. I get stabs behind my back, people that tell me that no one will tell me to my face most of the time, but some people do. Some people aren't afraid to tell me to my face, and I really appreciate it. People selling or buying a ticket shouldn't be selling tickets. Like, no. Stop buying tickets years ago. I've been working, and you know what? Typically, I work a lot. I mean, I work for a lot of promotions in a lot of places, and I think I do pretty good from a time, money, you know, energy spent continuum. I mean, I think I've improved, and I think that I do very good, and I help promote whatever I do, and I work really hard. I don't understand what more do you want out of someone who definitely has a passion that may not be the same as yours, because I haven't been trained as a wrestler, but I still love it just as much as I could love anything else, you know, short of a
Mark.
Or the woman, yeah.
Mark, I think it's official now. You're being interviewed on an internet wrestling radio show, so I think you're officially a wrestling fan.
You are in, my friend.
what you don't know that I'm now a manager of my own Shameless Self Promotion. If you go to the 5MinuteMark.com, that's me, the 5MinuteMark.com, 5 minutes Georgia Wrestling Report on Beyond Ringside every Sunday night. Didn't know that about me either.
I did not
Sorry.
Know that.
Yeah, if you go to the 5MinuteMark.com, you'll be able to keep up with everything, not just what I do with Georgia Wrestling Fans, AlabamaProWrestling.net, everything else. I wrap it all up in one teensy, tiny little package hermetically sealed on a website just for your pleasure. Just for you. And I've just started it, and it's just 5 minutes of almost pure shameless self-promotion right now, but I got some opinions. But I feel like all these things that are bottled up on me and trying to get this promotion started and some of the things that have been going on, there's some things that I feel like I'm going to have to say something. Something's fantastic and some things I feel like I don't know.
Well, Mark, some more self-promotion for you. Let people know where they can find out about Classic Pro Wrestling.
ClassicProWrestling.net, the best place on earth, or on the internet anyway, to check out for information on Classic Pro Wrestling in Franklin, Georgia, coming soon on TV. Yep, we're working on it. Got a TV pilot, taking the first 3 shows, turning it into a TV episode, working really hard on it. TV pilot, I should say. Even got plans for a restaurant in Franklin is going to be hosting a monthly sit down, sit on a sofa, coffee table interview show that we're going to film for the internet. All kinds of weird stuff's happening.
And the shows are the first and third Friday of every month, is that right?
First and Friday of every month. Unfortunately, we had to bump it, or fortunately, because of the Ted Allen show, we wanted to make sure that we weren't doing anything that week, and Valentine's Day dance and some other stuff going on at the school we didn't want to interfere with. So we bumped it to the 22nd for this month, but in officially March 1st, we go to the first and third Friday of every month in Franklin, Georgia. Yeah.
All right. Well,
lots of great wrestling coming up. Lots of old school. Plus, I'm trying to bring in some really good young talent. So Anthony Henry will be joining us, and we're working on that Georgia Ultimate 8 Championship format to be announced officially real soon.
All right. Well, any other particular matches for this Friday that you want to mention?
Johnny Swinger and Bobby Moore. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. Johnny Swinger could barely limp off the mat and get down the stairs at our last show. Bobby Moore is going to take it right to him. It's going to be fun. I love working with Bobby Moore. Gym Class Heroes and Hot Commodity is going to be a great tag team. I think Chick Donovan and Lamar Phillips is going to be a good match. You know, with Chick, it's a match of the ages every single time. A match for the ages. I love having Chick there. He's been doing commentary on our DVD, and to say nothing less than it's hilarious would be, you know, not doing it justice. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, as much stress as it's been and many all the issues and everything, and we've had some injuries already at the start, but it's been a lot of fun, and it's been well-received, and the locker room is trying to create an environment down there where people can grow, and to see Robert Gibson in the ring training with Fred Yehi before the match, Fred's first tag team match with Kyle, I'm telling you guys, it's like, Larry, I don't have to post it to YouTube just so you can watch it. I can watch that over the whole show. I could just watch the 10 minutes that we caught Robert Gibson going over tag team stuff with Fred Yehi in the ring.
Please put it up.
Oh, we got so many plans, and Robert's going to be there the first starting in April. All these dates with tax season going crazy. Also, taxes, contact me to get your taxes done. But please don't.
Too, man.
I'm so intoxicated right now. I am so intoxicated. Coffee and taxes in wrestling. But it is, he's going to be there starting in April. And I'm telling you, I've worked with Robert so many times that I took that part of him for granted. And I'm telling you, my girlfriend watched the video, and she says, I've never seen that guy look so happy in his life. And I looked at her, and I was like, oh, my God, even you could see. He looked like he was jumping up and down teaching. He was so excited. And then to watch him watch the match, you know, that's exciting stuff for me. I feel like I'm Will watching something it's just come share my boyhood excitement in Franklin, Georgia, first and third Fridays of every month. A portion of all the proceeds go to the Heard County Middle School Athletic Program. You can buy tickets for $5. Where can you buy tickets for Big Time Pro Wrestling for $5 in advance?
That Classic Pro Wrestling, apparently.
ClassicProWrestling.net, the one and only place on the internet.
And contact the promoter to get your taxes done at the same time.
And contact the promoter to get your taxes done. Full service, Mark Grayson.
Squeaky clean taxes, everybody. Squeaky clean taxes would call me anyway.
All right, Mark. Well, I appreciate you calling in, and sounds like you got
thing
going, and I wish you luck with it.
Thank you. I hope to see you down there, Jonathan. Always a pleasure. Matt, love you.
Love you, Mark Grayson. You know
Saturday.
That.
It was great to see you. Love you to death. Larry, don't see enough of you. We'd love to see you at Classic Pro Wrestling the first and third Friday of every month in Franklin, Georgia. Doors open at 6:30, 7:30 bell time. It's a short drive from anywhere in eastern Alabama, by the way. Got lots of people driving in from Alabama. It's weird. I'd have to change the time on it. It's so weird. Good night.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
God bless. Take care. Thank you for the opportunity. Take care.
All right, and that concludes the President's Day edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. Let's see what we got next week. What shows are coming up this weekend that people need to know about, Larry?
On completely the other opposite side of the state, Friday night, APW's 6th anniversary show, Jeremy Vane versus Jacoby Boykins. Jacob Ashworth makes his return to the ring after a serious neck injury. Strap match, yes, versus Strychnine.
Yeah, I saw that.
Arabian strap match, Brandon Parker versus Yasir Akbar. And on that show, Seth DeLay and Sugar Dunkerton, completely not in competition with Classic Pro, way on the other side of the state. But if you're in that area, check it out.
All right.
Also, this weekend is the tag tournament up in Deep South, Deep Southern Championship Wrestling in Blue Ridge. That's going on as well.
All right. So another big weekend for local wrestling. And next week, let's see, I don't have anything completely scheduled yet. We will have someone from Monstrosity Championship Wrestling calling in, but I'm not sure who that will be yet. So we're kind of up in the air for next week, but I promise it'll be another exciting show. And that's it for this week. So, Larry, thanks for calling. Matt, thanks as always, and we'll be back next Monday night at 7.
Listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.